Welcome back to Disney Dependent. I'm Sarah Chilcott.
And I'm Emily MacMillan.
Woo! Just maiden named her.
So close to saying your own name.
Yeah, I tricked you guys. That was a little sleight of hand for you. I'm a magician. Am I going to eat pretzels on air?
No.
Yes. Ready? One, two, three.
It's weird that I can't hear that. I can see that you're doing it, but I can't hear it.
I can.
Now I can.
I'm sure the audience can.
Thank goodness.
Here's the deal. Sarah just caught us up on a lot of stuff off air, and it was quite the journey.
It was.
And that's all we'll say, because you can't. You, the listeners, cannot hear about that.
No, I don't want it to be public record. But let's just say that when my husband and I went to Cancun, we did Cancun in every possible way.
That's a fair way to say it. And,
we experienced Mexico fully.
They say that Disneyland is the happiest place on earth, but I say Cancun is the funkiest place on earth.
It really isn't. It's just a lot of really bad decisions. No laws were broken by us.
You know what I feel like we don't talk about enough on this podcast?
What's that?
Funk music. I think the music's pretty crazy and wacky, but I really do appreciate the outfits that they wear.
Do you remember the Goodfoot in Portland used to have a funk night?
Uh-huh.
It was like every Friday was funk night. Mm-hmm. We went a couple times. It was really fun.
Yeah, it's a good time.
It started out where we were like the only white people there, and that kind of felt good. It was like, yeah, this is how it's supposed to be. Like, this is not my music.
Yeah.
I'm here experiencing something that is not a part of my life. It was like a little, I don't know, insight into a world I don't know much about. We stopped going when it was the opposite. And all the hipsters had taken over funk night. It was like, screw this.
Yeah, they always do.
They always ruin everything.
Yep.
I am waiting for that burp. I have one brewing.
Well, speaking of being built up with gas.
Yeah.
My St. Patrick's Day sucked.
Mine too.
I'm a little shamrock kind of boy. And we had a great afternoon. We drove out to a little place, Trabuco Canyon. Trabuco Canyon. We saw this really like epic place where motorcyclists, bikers meet up. So I'm going to...
Cook's Corner.
I'll go back, check her out. And then we kept driving up the canyon. Beautiful, by the way, Sarah. So rad. All the goodness. And we went to... What's the name of it, Ash?
I don't remember the name of it, but it's a monastery.
Yeah.
Ramakrishna?
Rama not going to work here anymore.
Sound like that.
Yeah, Ramakrishna, I think. It was great. That was really, really cool. Beautiful. Then we went hiking. An altered version of our hike. I use that with quotes.
Yeah, you tell them why we took the alternate version of hiking.
Yeah, because Papa got real gassy that day. Not Papa? Fart gas, me, as in me.
Yeah.
This guy. And you know what I mean.
Our grandfather, who's not even alive.
Papa got real Cassy on the other end, the other side of life. No, I did what I shouldn't have done. I started to eat a lot of candy again like an 8-year-old, okay? And then I gorged myself late at night in bed. Woo! Great idea, James.
Baby boy, you know better.
It's like...
He brought his giant bag of peanut M&Ms to bed with him.
Yeah. And then I woke up with a sore tummy, and then it just got worse and worse, where I'm writhing around in pain with a heating pad, rubbing my
trying tummy. To be a good sport for my big day out that I had planned.
Remember the break I had to take in the car?
Yes.
That was fun.
Yep.
We pulled over before we go walking, and I just laid in the back of the car in my tummy. I'm like, yeah, I need to fart. It's so bad. But we saw a really cool lizard on the walk.
We saw lots of cool lizards.
Sarah, we went walking in Mission Viejo. Remember that area?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was really cool. That's what's really nice about being over here is we're close enough to the Orange County world, so we go there a lot, too. So it's not just L.A. stuff. It's been great. Yeah, so I kind of missed out on that evening because our plan was to walk up to this little main street in Seal Beach, which is so cute. It's like, you know, historic Hillsborough Main Street vibe, but even better, way better, I'd say. And they have like three or four Irish pubs for some goddamn reason on that street. And we're going to go and have a Guinness. And that didn't happen.
Yeah, James stayed home and laid on his stomach, and I took a walk. I filmed.
Yeah.
I filmed some of that shenanigans.
Which you know, I actually don't think I saw.
You don't have to wait for St. Paddy's to go have a Guinness at an Irish pub. And in fact,
amen,
you'll have a better experience if you go to an Irish pub not on St. Patrick's Day.
It's That's true. It was point. Horribly overpacked.
Go this weekend or something. You know?
There you
Just
go.
Just do-over.
Okay. I'll do that.
Wear shamrocks if you need to.
Instead, we watched Waking Ned Divine and I drank whiskey.
Yeah, that's right.
And James had some toast.
I had toast. He had
dry toast.
Dry toast with
And
water.
A banana.
And some banana.
I put him on the brat diet.
Yeah, I couldn't
even
have all of
That's actually a pretty traditional Irish dinner.
No, in fact, halfway through the movie, I got my yoga pad out and laid on the floor watching the movie. Just kind
of rolling
around.
This is a regular
around.
Thing for me, but it's not for my tummy. It's for my back or my neck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just like, I need to be flat.
Yeah. Well, I hear something often.
This just in, it is some temperature,
yes,
68 and mostly sunny here in
Disneyland.
It's the same.
It is 66 and sunny here in Long Beach, California.
Wow.
Wow.
Wowee.
Wow.
It's warmer here right now.
It's warmer there. I saw the weather there.
Gorgeous right now.
Oh, I bet.
Like the weekend could not have been more perfect.
Man.
75, I think, was the high all weekend. Mm-hmm. Not a moment of cloudiness or rain. It's just, I was talking to a guy that is a recent transplant from somewhere. I don't remember where he's from. I think he said Arizona, actually, which is really funny. He was at the bar and he's like, yeah, I've been here for about 2 months. And so, are we done with the rain?
Oh,
I was like,
boy.
Oh, honey.
You sweet summer child.
No.
No, not
This
even
is
close.
Just lies. This is a trick.
This is
a
gaslighting,
test, sir.
Actually, I was wrong. It says 69 degrees and sunny.
There?
Yeah.
Yeah. I read it wrong. Oh. I was looking at the wrong thing.
Yeah.
For one, that's a funny number.
Always.
But yeah, that's good that it's nice there. Okay, that's enough about the weather.
So, we all consider ourselves citizens of Disneyland.
Indeed.
It is our second home, after all.
In fact, we now have the annual pass.
Yeah, we got keys to the kingdom.
Sorry, Sarah. Woo-hoo.
That's okay.
It's okay.
You do you.
Most of us would probably live there if we could.
Yeah.
But alas, security has its beady little eyes on everywhere, so we must leave at the end of a long day. But there were actually true residents of Disneyland. They lived there 24/7 inside the active theme park for its first 16 years of operation.
That's crazy.
Lucky bastards.
God.
This is the story of Owen and Dolly Pope.
What a great name. Owen and Dolly Pope.
Yep.
Dolly Pope.
They sound so cute.
They are
oh,
cute.
Oh, I bet they are. They're definitely white, though, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're living inside Disneyland?
They white.
Owen E. Buddy Pope
was
born on May 5th, 1910, in Josephine, Texas, to father Fleming and mother Lolly.
Ah, piss.
Wow. And then father he married a Dolly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fleming himself hailed from Mississippi, born there in 1878. Lolly, née Matson, a native Texan, was born in 1891. Lolly married Fleming in 1905 at the ripe old age of 13.
Blech.
Wow.
Fleming being 27 years old at the time.
Fleming?
Yep.
That was the first
27
name?
27 and 13?
Yep.
I'm Jesus uncomfortable.
God almighty.
There's more years between them than she is old.
By the way, I was so hung up on the goddamn name Fleming that I looked over this age difference.
Yes.
I should focus on
what
matters.
That was the main problem that you had.
I should get back to reality here.
Well, they had five children in total, including Owen, a.k.a. Buddy. They had sisters Hazel and Helen, brother L.D. Pope, who would later marry a woman named Opal.
Ah, that sounds right.
Dolly Love Pope was born April 4th, 1914 in Texas, sister of Punkin' Love Minnick.
Okay, I quit. I quit.
None of this is relevant to the story. I was just tickled by all of these old-timey names.
I'm just trying to trigger your husband.
Punkin' Love Minnick.
Punkin?
Punkin. P-U-N-K-I-N.
Yep.
Punkin.
Yeah.
Hazel, right. Helen, Opal, Dolly, Punkin.
There's no way that they don't look exactly the way I know they look.
Oh, you know how they look. Okay, back to the real story. So Owen met Dolly in late 1929, and they were married in 1935. She was 21, and he was 25, much less creepy.
Yeah.
And the pair were total horse people, James.
Were they? I'm a horse people.
You're a horseman.
I'm a horse girl.
That doesn't... Oh, God. He's a horse girl that doesn't actually ride horses ever.
Yeah. No.
Over the next couple of decades, Owen and Dolly were horse trainers and animal specialists. Owen was also a great maker of things, having learned how to weld during World War II. Later, he designed a new kind of trailer, and in 1949, the couple went out on the Cow Palace in San Francisco to bring out this new hitch and show it off. In the years that followed, Owen continued to build custom trailers for horses and travel from horse show with a hitch of 8 to 10 Shetland stallion ponies, with winning recognition and prizes.
And this is all in California.
Yes.
Damn.
And when they traveled to fairs throughout California, the couple lived out of their 30-foot van. They were living the van life before it was cool.
Before
hashtag
it was cool.
Van life.
During...
Weird that's a thing.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge thing.
Yeah. How does... Is that just social media that does that?
No. You've met many a van lifer. Well, you've seen them in the grocery stores.
What did that one guy say?
Yeah, I've been living the van life for about 3 years now.
We just overheard some guy say that.
And you could... I mean, like, you didn't have to hear that. You could look at him and tell that he had been living that van life for several years at that point in his life.
He's, like, clean-ish, but, like, there's a... A crust?
There's a crust.
There hasn't been a real shower in a bit.
Right. That's right.
There's only so much you can do with wet wipes.
Yeah.
Yep. During 1950, the Popes were running a show at the Pan Pacific Auditorium in Sacramento, exhibiting their prize hitch of Shetland pony stallions, when Disney production artist Harper Goff attended. Harper recommended their show to Walt, who showed it up... Oh, sorry. Harper recommended their show to Walt, who showed up at the Cow Palace show for a gander of his own.
The Cow Palace show.
I need to go to the Cow Palace.
You don't.
I think Walt, you do.
Walt was so impressed with the showmanship and their ponies that he started to figure out a way to contact the Popes. Impressed by their expertise, he wanted to hire them as consultants for his team to design animal-based attractions. And he also wanted them to raise horses in small stables at the Disney Studios lot in Burbank.
Aww. That's fun.
Dolly recalled, quote, in 51, he started looking for us. The librarian at the studio started writing all over, and a letter finally reached us asking about our horses and equipment. I wrote a letter back telling him that Owen had manufactured his own equipment, harnesses, and so forth, and she sent a letter back asking us to come and meet Walt. Walt arranged a meeting with the couple during the spring of 1951. They met over lunch to talk about the ponies, which the Popes thought that he wanted to use for a film, which would make sense.
Yeah, that would make sense. You would assume.
But it was at this lunch that he told them about his plans for building a theme park.
Get this. I'm building an entire theme park
on
my name.
On your land.
And I need your hitch of ponies.
And on the Sunday after Thanksgiving in 1951, they moved their trailer to the Walt Disney Studio lot in Burbank.
Ah, I see.
So Owen built 10 stalls for Walt's horses using wood from the studio's own lumber supply. Over the next 2.5 years, Walt visited them every day to chat about horses and his plans for Disneyland.
You know what's crazy about this is at the studios in Burbank, you can visit today. And there's a little, if you park on a side street, sort of like a block away from the studios, you can walk to what is like the behind lot of the property. And it's just like an empty dirt field thing. And that's where Disneyland was supposed to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's still empty to this day, which is really crazy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the reason I bring it up is it's part of a horse path.
Yeah.
There's a horse path that runs through Burbank, and it'll kind of end up there, and people do like a loop around it.
Yeah, so it's really cool seeing that.
Yeah, there's kind of like a connection there. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Roy Disney also visited them to discuss what people did at fairs and which types of shows they enjoyed there. Maybe try going to one, Roy, you weirdo. What do they do at a fair?
Tell me about fairs.
You hoity-toity weirdo is what you wrote.
Yes. Thank you. Other than military personnel housed there during World War II, the Popes are the only people to have ever lived at the studio. I mean, except maybe, you know, people sleeping under their desk at night because they are overworked by Walt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Probably, I would imagine.
Oh, I'm sure there was a few
that
stayed a night or two.
But they were the only ones that legitimately lived there.
Wow.
Looking further ahead, Walt knew that his park animals would need 24-hour care, so the solution would be to just have them live inside the confines of his future Disneyland.
That's crazy. So, but in Burbank at this time?
Yes.
At the studios?
Yes. Back then, Disneyland was intended to occupy that parcel next to Walt Disney Studios in Burbank. But as we all know, there was a long list of possible locations. And for reasons that we've covered in previous episodes, they eventually settled on a quaint little farming town in Orange County called Anaheim.
A quaint little farming town called Anaheim. Yeah. That is so hard to imagine now.
Just outside the small city of LA.
Yeah. I mean, I was just in Anaheim the other night for a show. And man, is that not a little farming town?
Yeah, not at all.
At all.
The plot that Disney purchased in Anaheim not only had farms on it, but farmhouses. Before construction began on Disneyland, something had to be done with the houses that belonged to the former owners of the land. And if you're going to have folks living in the park, why not use ready-made houses rather than build a new one?
Sure.
After all, Walt and Roy already knew that moving a house was way cheaper than building one. When they moved Walt Disney Studios from its home in Atwater to its current location in Burbank, they relocated several studio buildings to the new property, including the Hyperion Bungalow that's still in use as office space today.
Oh, how cool.
Walt told the Popes that they could choose any one of those houses that they wanted to live in. They chose a 1,300-square-foot ranch house called the Witherell Bungalow, built by Linnaeus and Grace Witherell, who were early supporters of the park.
I like those names.
You do?
Yeah, I kind of like that.
I thought you were going to shit on them.
I did too.
Linnaeus is kind of stupid.
I expected it.
Ah, you're right. I don't like it.
Linnaeus.
I just thought of it again. Witherell. That's way too
Witherell.
English.
Yeah. Witherell.
Yeah. That's too tea sipping for me.
Their selection was soon moved to a 10-acre area behind what would eventually become Fantasyland. 3 days before the park opened that mid-July in 1955, Owen and Dolly moved into Disneyland, but they had to live in their trailer for a while until their house was ready for them.
Right.
And then for the next 16 years, the couple lived year-round in the park and managed the Pony Farm Ranch, eventually known as the Circle D Corral, that housed the animals located just behind their house.
I mean, wait, hold on. You're skipping ahead. That is so crazy. These people lived on site at Walt Disney Studios, the first people ever to do so. Mm-hmm. And for what I understand, the only people to do so.
Yep.
Then the company had their house moved to the Disneyland property in Anaheim, which at the time was a farming area. I have that correct now. And then they stayed
The house was in the Orange Groves in Anaheim.
Okay. So, yes. Okay, you said something about
they moved their trailer there, but they moved the house from where it was on the Disneyland property to where they wanted it to be situated.
Right.
Oh, okay. Right. Got it.
Yes.
But, okay.
Still within Disneyland property.
Yeah. A short move, not a across the county move.
Gotcha. But the point stands that they still lived on the two Disney properties in California that we recognize today.
Yes.
And then in Disneyland for 16 goddamn years.
And it's not the last Disney property that they will live on.
That's
Let me
so
just
crazy.
Tease you that one.
Well, but so I don't. Why though?
I've been looking at Google Maps trying to find it. Like you said, it's behind Galaxy's Edge now. And I'm like searching all over trying to find it. And it's just tiny. It's a tiny little house.
But it's not on a street, right?
It is if you're standing in,
I guess. But you have to be on Disneyland property, yes?
Yeah, you have to be behind the scenes.
Yeah, so you have to be a cast member.
It's within Ball Road, like that border.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like if you're standing at Chippendale's Gadget Go Coaster.
Okay.
It's like straight back from that.
Oh, wow.
But it's like many buildings deep because there's so much, obviously, between that and the house, between that and Ball Road. But they're like right up against Ball Road.
Well, the picture of it has like a little sign in front of it.
Yeah.
Almost as though like a, like you wouldn't in a tourist attraction. So what does that mean? Like, can you visit this?
No. I'm sure that they do have some like very special VIP behind the scenes tours, but no, it's completely just off. Off limits.
Well, that Disney Park blog that you had pulled up, DisneyParks.com, the Disney Parks blog, that article, if you go down to the bottom, there's a bunch of comments and a lot of people asking, is this something that can be seen by the general public? I go to Disneyland once a month and I'm always looking for new things, blah, blah. And it doesn't seem like that's something you can even do.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not even all cast members can access it.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if they opened that up even just like a couple times a year to people, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. Well, back during their tenure, in Walt Disney's Disneyland, published 1964, which I should have taken down our Walt Disney's Disneyland to see if it's in this one, but I didn't. The one on top.
Oh, right. Pictorial souvenir and guide.
Yeah, it might have this in it. It describes how, quote, in the weeks before the park's opening, the horses were entertained, as it were. They pranced around in a circular ring for hours each day while music, tooting, automobile horns, and the sounds of crowds and people were wafted into their ears. They did this to the horses 4 hours a day with these tape recordings to simulate the sounds that they would be hearing while working in the parks.
That's so smart.
Yeah, wow. To sensitize them.
Wow.
Van Arsdale, France. Here you go. What do you think about that one? Van Arsdale, France.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Okay.
But it's not, it's, there's something not like,
Arsdale.
Piss me off. Yeah, it's all right.
Okay. Well, he said, quote, he was worried about the horses spooking with all of those sights and sounds of Disneyland. So a recording of sounds from arcades and shooting galleries and yelling kids made up. This was used as an audio aid for the horses' training.
Oh.
I just thought that was very smart of them.
Yeah, it is.
In their years at Disneyland, the Popes oversaw 74 livestock handlers, including 34 drivers and 40 harness cleaners and stablemen, and maintained a stock of more than 200 head of livestock during the peak seasons.
That's insane.
Wow.
At Disneyland.
Wait, so read that last thing again. I think that's worth reading again.
They maintained a stock of more than 200 head of livestock during peak season.
That's nuts, man.
They also oversaw crafting the horse gear. And as far back as Disneyland's earliest planning stages, stagecoaches, buckboards, and wagons were supposed to be some of the main attractions. So all of that was under their purview. The earliest concepts for Disneyland even suggested that the mail order catalog will picture everything for sale in the Emporium or at any place in Disneyland. If you want a real pony and cart or a miniature donkey 30 inches high, you'll find it in the catalog.
What?
No. Glad they didn't go that route.
Wow.
Yeah, me too. Let's not sell catalog ponies, please.
So Owen and Dolly's, their responsibility, the reason for Disney keeping them on property was because they're the horse people, mm-hmm. and the horses are going to be on property anyway, so we got to have someone, yeah.
Horses and livestock,
And but the livestock thing, what did that ever, like, what's the
they
point?
They had donkeys, and they had, like...
Cows, though?
They had lots of farm animals at one point, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the park?
Yeah. That's
fucking crazy.
Uh-huh.
I mean, goddamn, wow, what a different park it was back then, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, it was... Tiny, too.
Tiny, so and in the middle. Nowhere.
Yeah. So much, like, extra space.
Very dusty, very hot. Sure, it mm-hmm. smelled like poop. It was like a crappy state fair.
So it's said that despite their unusual home, Owen and Dolly led a rather normal life within the park. They lived in the park for a number of huge moments in Disneyland history. Think of what they saw.
Oh my God.
They witnessed firsthand the additions of the monorail, the Tiki Room, Mr. Lincoln, Small World, Pirates, and the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
They were there during Walt's passing and watched Roy take the helm.
Boo! No, I'm just kidding.
Well, speaking of Roy, in 1971, the Popes were summoned to Florida to help kick off operations at Walt Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they were nearing retirement age, they couldn't resist the opportunity to supervise the making of the Tri-Circle D Ranch.
I should have saw this coming.
Yep, and all animal operations at Walt Disney
World.
Which
we still need to visit one day.
Yes.
The Circle D Ranch.
Are we allowed
Circle
to?
Circle Dick Ranch. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think you can.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
I think you can. And I'm eating Cheerios.
I'm going to kill you.
Look, our audience appreciates my authenticity.
I'm sure they do.
They like that about me. They want the real me. I give them the real me. I'm a cool kind of guy, and I eat Cheerios on air. They love that about me.
But they can't see you shoveling Cheerios into your face.
Here's the thing. Sometimes I take two at a time, right?
Yeah.
And I'll put one, you know, a little fang there.
Uh-huh.
I'll put one on a fang and then the other one on a fang. And I bite them down. Sometimes I just take a whole, too many in a handful and just, ooh.
I'm just going to go ahead and mute your microphone.
I'll put it in my mouth.
I think it would have been really funny if you just launched that Cheerio straight back into your throat and you had a good minute coughing fit where you had to pause.
I don't think that'd be very funny.
Okay, well, I want to, since we're, you know, off topic anyway, I might as well just show you this. I got this, and I think I loaned it to you guys for a while.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Maps of the Disney parks.
Yeah, my brother-in-law got this for me years ago for Christmas. And I will admit that I've really just barely leafed through it.
Sure.
But I'm looking now for pictures that may include the Pope House.
Oh, cool.
While we're chatting.
Okay.
Excellent.
Well, keep looking.
I'll let you know if I see anything.
Okay. Well, a few years later, in September of 1975, Dolly became the first Walt Disney World Resort cast member to retire. Because it was, you know, 4 years after it opened. So she would, of course, be the first Walt Disney World cast member to retire.
That makes sense.
Followed shortly by Owen in October.
Okay. Wait, Walt Disney World?
Walt yes. Disney World. Did you miss that part?
Yeah.
It's okay. They moved. So explain it again.
Yeah. Dolly and Owen moved across the country.
Yeah, Roy had them move out to Walt Disney World to open the
Circle D Ranch.
The Circle D Ranch.
That's why I brought up.
Yeah.
I do remember all of that. I did hear all of that. I just missed that it was in Florida and not just somewhere else in Anaheim.
Right.
Got it.
Okay. Owen passed away in 2000 in Florida at the age of 90.
Wow.
So he had a nice long retirement, 25 years. Bro.
Wow.
And Dolly died 3 years later, aged 89, back home in Texas.
Oh, good for them. Bam.
Now, what became of the Pope House? According to some former cast member comments on the Disney Parks blog, quote, the Pope House had become the Disneyland Credit Union annex office in the late 70s.
Lame.
I took it over and had it remodeled as an office for my department in 1980. It became the home for the Disneyland Media Productions Office, or as it was commonly known by most, as the Pony Farm Productions.
Who's the one saying, I took it over?
Some dude.
Oh. Okay.
It wasn't verified. That's why it's according to.
Okay.
Yeah.
It then became home for the Disneyland Media Productions Office, or it was commonly known as Pony Farm Productions. Okay.
Yeah. So it's been taken over many times.
Sure.
Another former cast member remembers the Pope House, saying, quote, outside of Owen and Dolly's house were two old oak trees. Stretched between them was a hammock. For a few minutes each Sunday afternoon, I would recline beneath a canopy of leaves and contemplate how cool it was to be in the happiest place on earth in a way very few people have ever experienced it.
Oh,
millions have visited Disneyland, but only a handful of people ever laid in this hammock and enjoyed the park as I have.
Wow.
Dreamy.
Wow.
Eventually, the house had to move again, as we said up front. Disney drew up plans for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and decided to plop the new land squarely in the backstage area where the ranch and the house had been.
I love that they keep moving it.
Yeah.
Instead of just tearing it down.
Yep. Instead of tearing it down, they spent $20,000 per the Orange County Register to move it to the backstage area that's in now, which $20,000, I'm like, dude, I will salvage a house for $20,000 to move it. Like, that's nothing to move a house.
Yeah. In Southern California.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Wow. Just to move it.
Hmm. What year did they move it?
Well, Galaxy's Edge, so 2018 probably?
2018, yeah, something like that.
Wow.
Well, I think it opened 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
Well, 2017 so maybe.
Being built around then.
Mm-hmm. It's now used for events, but is not regularly occupied. The horses have moved to a nearby off-property stable, while the rest of the animals were adopted by a family in Murrieta. Their legacy is still in the parks, though. Owen has an honorary window on Main Street, USA, in the Magic Kingdom.
Ah.
Oh.
It reads, Owen Pope, harness maker, feed and grain, supplies, leather goods, saddles a specialty.
Aw.
It's some friggin' bullshit that Dahlia wasn't included. But
yeah,
you know,
no kidding.
Whatever.
She's a lady. that's not a lady's place to be on the windows of Main Street, USA. That's a
man's
place.
All those men
place.
Gazing upon her.
Mm-hmm. Disneyland is for men.
Adult men.
Adult men with no children.
Yeah, tell Sarah the thing Mark Bricky said.
No, Mark Bricky, who's a podcaster and YouTuber, for those who don't know, we consider him a bud too. He posted something on Instagram. He often posts like comment of the week or something like that. And it's usually comments from crazy people off the internet, just posting negative bullshit. And someone said something to the effect of like, Bricky must have been filming in Toontown or something like that. And the comment was like, you know, I always get like creeped out when I see a guy just solo walking around Toontown without kids. You know, it's just like, I don't know, man. It's just weird or something like that. And he responded with, oh, no, don't worry. I have kids. I brought them too. They were just in my car. I left them in the car. Don't worry. I left the windows down. So they should be able to breathe just fine. Dad had to go work alone. So that's why I was there. Something like that.
Yeah.
It was so good. And then he was like, save the children, and just totally rubbed it in his face. Like, why do you fucking care? Just let people be.
No kidding.
Who cares?
If you're not being a creep.
Right. Sheesh.
Okay, well, if you're looking for their window, I'm going to give it to both of them. It can be found on the side of the car barn, located between the fire station and the Emporium. It houses the trolley cars and horses being used that day in the park, which is fitting.
That is.
Perfect.
And you can still find some of the Pope's work hanging from the firehouse, or hanging in the firehouse on Main Street in Disneyland, which now we're going to have to go check that out. Although I think it's closed for refurbishment right now, isn't it?
Some of his work? Oh, the saddle?
Yeah, like his work.
Oh, okay. I can kind of picture that.
Yeah, I think we've seen it because we've been in there.
Yeah, it was. That's right. It was closed when we were there. Yeah. By the way, we're going tomorrow.
Another legacy of Dolly and Owen was their nephew. From his recent obituary, it said, quote, Bob grew up in Fort Worth, Texas, and had a passion for art at an early age. His career path was solidified when, after high school, he moved to California to live and work with his aunt and uncle, Owen and Dolly Pope, in the only house on the grounds at Disneyland.
Bastard.
So, technically, he was the third person that lived there.
Right.
Temporarily.
Yeah. He didn't even have to put in the work.
Yeah, right? They were the original managers of the Circle D Ranch at Disneyland, and the house is still there, historically restored. This area was known as the Pony Farm, and at one time, the Popes, with Bob's help, cared for as many as 220 animals. The Popes and Bob Minnick are the only people to actually ever live at Disneyland.
So is the Circle D Ranch, it's named that in both parks?
I think it's the triple Circle D in Walt Disney World.
Okay.
It's like slightly different. The obituary continued, working in that environment in the early stages of Disneyland with the influence of the late, great Walt Disney provided fuel for Bob's imagination and artistic ability. After working at and managing several large theme parks, Bob founded Minnick Associates, a world-renowned design and architectural firm. He specialized in entertainment venues and theme parks with impressive projects from Dubai to the Fort Worth Stockyards. His insider knowledge and management of theme parks gave him a unique perspective to crowd flow and profitability.
I would imagine.
He was the first to design games in a park, designing the skill game operations at Six Flags Over Texas and many more. He married the love of his life, Lottie.
Jesus.
Lottie, Dolly, and Lolly.
Come on.
And they spent the last 42 years on a fabulous adventure working together on unique projects around the world. I just thought that was very cute.
That is adorable.
So that's the legacy of Owen and Dolly and the Pope House. And as a hint for next week's episode, although the Pope House was the only pre-Disneyland building that had folks actually living in it, it wasn't the only house that survived from the Orange Grove days. And next week we're going to cover another house and the family that lived there, including a gentleman who would become known as Mr. Disneyland.
Ooh.
Wow.
My sources were SF Gate, OC Register, D23, Walt's Folly Blog, Magic Dream News, Find a Grave, AllEars.net, and Amusement Today.
All righty.
So cool.
Good job as usual.
I know that we can't go visit the house, but I am begging that you two try to see it through the trees from Ball Road. Because
start
you can.
Stalking it, yeah. Get some
if you're
binoculars.
On the sidewalk there, you'll be able to catch a glimpse, I think, unless I'm lying. But yeah. It looks like you can see building anyway. Get your butts over there.
Wait, so it's off the Ball Road side?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Between Ball Road and like Toontown and Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
It's if you go, if you're on Ball Road, there's a road that goes down Cast Place, I think is what it's called. It's like the cast member's entrance. It's okay. Right there.
Because I see a fence on the other side of the property, and I wonder where that fence goes to.
Hmm.
It's on the top of the ball side. It's at the taint of the ball.
The top of the ball side.
I mean, it only took a matter of a few minutes before one of our idiot brains went there.
Oh, every time we're down there. Got to talk about Ball Road.
Ball Road.
Interrupting.
Kate, bring the cat to me. Because
bring
I
the
don't,
cat.
I know that James and Ash can't hear him screaming, but I'm wondering how much screaming you have all heard. I need to hold him to the mic.
Oh, he wants me.
Oh, he's so orange. What? Make him scream.
Meow.
I gotta give him milk. I think I might have.
There he is.
Oh. Oh no, oh, here comes no. Una.
Oh, Una.
Competing
the
kitties.
Cats are taking over. All right. Earlier, while Ash was talking, I don't even think you noticed that Doris jumped up on the desk and James just swooped her off and put her on the ground without saying anything.
Yeah, you don't even notice. I went, yep.
There are cats everywhere. Two on my end, four on your end.
Six between the two of us, or between the three of us. Hey, that's only two per person. That's fine.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
That's true.
She's just going to erase everything.
Yeah, she needs to not be here. Oh my God.
Bye, Una.
My worst nightmare.
She's so pointy.
She's very stiff.
We're back.
All right, I'll kick us off this week with a recommendation for you. A recommended piece of content is what I will call it. It's a show that apparently came out in 2019, though it's new to Ash and I. It's on Apple TV. And it is a show called Servant. Not The Servant, just Servant. Have you seen this, Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
Dids.
This
dids,
may have
dids.
Been a recommendation of mine.
Oh my God!
A while.
Okay, well, it is it's a psychological drama, kind of horror thriller. There's some supernatural stuff to it, and it's like five genres in one, and it's fucking incredible. Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
I like that I dropped an F-bomb. That's a garsh.
Garsh instead of God.
Garsh. It just makes me sound like a serial killer.
Yeah.
I promise I won't kill you, Garsh. Yeah, this show is, it's just totally badass. A Philadelphia couple are in mourning after an unspeakable tragedy creates a rift in their marriage and opens a door for a mysterious force to enter their home. Now, I will give a warning, sort of a trigger warning. If you suffer from, like, child loss in any kind, maybe, you know, you've lost a baby or, you know, miscarriages or anything like that, you might want to skip this one because it definitely has a lot of that in it.
Oh, my God. Yes, it does.
In, like, a profound, crazy way.
Yeah, even from someone who has not gone through any of that.
Coming from someone who doesn't have kids of their own, I just thought of all the kids that are in my life, your children, all my nieces and nephews, and just put myself there. Ash and I were just like tripping out about it last night.
Yeah. Have you finished it or you're just your way through it?
Finished season one.
Okay.
There's four seasons.
It keeps getting weirder.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Like, it definitely takes a different turn where it's darker for sure. It keeps getting darker darker and darker, which is saying something because it jumps in dark.
So it's created by some guy. What's his name? Sorry, Deanna, hold on. One second. Just add it. So it's written and created by Tony Baskalap. Don't know if I'm saying that name right. You know what I mean? But it's executive produced by M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong. And as we all know, he's made some really fun movies. Mm-hmm. People like to shit on M. Night. I'm not one of them.
I think that this show is so his style that I would have assumed he was fully responsible for it.
Well, he's responsible for making it a reality as a producer.
So yeah, it has his print all over it.
Yeah.
It feels
it's really
like,
good.
And he also directed like half of the episodes too.
Right.
Well, it's weird too because it's almost like they went into the show with the intention of having the acting, or not even the acting, but like the characters be so unbelievable as people because it's not about the characters. Mm-hmm. It's like it's about the story, and it's almost like they did it on purpose to make sure that you're focused on what's happening and not like necessarily getting attached. It is a crazy ride. I agree.
It is a crazy ride.
I think it'd be hard to like see yourself very much in any of the characters.
Yeah.
Right.
That way.
Totally.
Yes. Yeah. That's so true. Yeah. They're all like the husband. This doesn't ruin any storyline at all. The husband is a chef.
No. He's a bon vivant, James.
Sorry. Fuck.
That's the other thing is they are so unbelievably
just
pretentious
and unbearable people.
You just don't like anyone, but you don't need to. Yeah. That's not the point.
And it's got Rupert Grint in it.
Yes. Ron Weasley.
Ron Weasley.
He's great.
He's really good.
He's the best part of the show.
Yeah.
I think.
He's great. Yeah. He's so good. Anyway, go check it out. Servant.
It's excellent. Incredible. So my recommendation is the show Love on the Spectrum. I have recommended it before, but it is not specifically the show that I'm recommending at this moment. It is the Instagram accounts of Abby and David. I don't know either of their names. I think her Instagram is Hats by Abby because she makes hats, but they are the cutest
and
thing.
And she has Asperger's or whatever.
They're both severely autistic.
Autistic. Okay.
Yes. But like they found each other. They are so cute. They're both obsessed with lions and big cats and the Lion King. They sing together poorly and it's magical. Like it really is. It's so great to see two people who the world has told you're not capable of whatever that is. Mm-hmm. Find each other. They're so happy. They both have amazing families that are so supportive
of their
relationship.
Do they live together alone?
Say that again?
Do they live together alone, like a married couple?
No.
Okay. They need help of some kind.
I would imagine. Yeah. I mean, maybe, but so I don't weird. Think so.
She looks like so normal and cute. Just by...
Oh, she's freaking adorable. She is so cute. But once you see her talking, you see it immediately. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just, there's like little moments where you're just like brought back to what's going on in their, you know, whatever it is that they've got going on.
Yeah.
Where he'll say, I love you. And she goes, oh, that means so much to me. And then kisses him. But it's like a really hard peck, you know, like a grandma would kiss a little kid. Just it's so cute. Well, they're just adorable.
That's what's so interesting about, you know, the spectrum and autism is that that's why I said she looks, quote, normal. Because there's no like physical outward appearance of it. It's an interesting condition that I think a lot of people can still live a pretty great life.
This most recent season had some real great characters.
I hear it's good.
They're just, I think his name's, it's either Colin or Connor, something like that. He's also amazing, has an Instagram. I follow him too. I just love seeing them pop up and just see that, you know, they go into the show, they're looking for love. They're looking for normalcy. And they're not going to get the same thing that we have because they don't have the same ability or skills or whatever it is. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I'm talking out of my ass right now, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. They don't have the same ability to connect.
Yeah, often they don't.
But they want it so desperately. And it's really hard because other people don't understand them. And so when they find somebody that does, or maybe just kind of misses those social cues where it's like somebody else might think, oh, the way you're talking or the way you're looking at me is not appropriate for this situation. They find someone who sees it for what it really is and can see through that or just ignores it or whatever. It's adorable. And I highly recommend the show and also just following those two, specifically Abby. She's great.
That's awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I've been wanting to check it out for a while. Cool. What do you got, Ash?
The animal hero of the week is a stork in Turkey named Yaren.
Of course it is.
And for the past 13 years, he has migrated to return to his friend Adam every summer. So basically, he spends 6 months a year with him, fishing with him, because Adam is a professional fisherman.
Oh, yeah. I remember this
one. Oh, a person.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was picturing these two storks named Yaren and Adam, and I was going to ask, like, how do you know their names? Did they tell someone? Hi, I'm Yaren. Hi, I'm Adam.
No, this stork visits this fisherman every year.
Not just, like, he lives with him, basically.
Or he lives with him. Okay.
I mean, not in his house, but he comes and returns to him every year, and then they go out on the boat together. They fish together.
That's right.
And so Adam actually ends up losing a lot of his fish harvest because he gives them to Yaren and Yaren's partner or friend who also shows up.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
though.
You got to bring your girlfriend, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really cute and he's a good boy.
He looks like a great boy.
And I like that in the Instagram feed where I found this, someone posted, I'm a fisherman in Sweden and have a seagull who returns every summer. His name is Roger and he just came back today 2 months early, exclamation points.
Look at the picture of Yaren and what's the guy's name?
Adam.
Adam.
Yeah.
He's just chilling on the boat.
They are big birds.
Yeah.
Really big.
Yeah, they're great. Oh, that's so good.
And Adam also keeps a bunch of other animals around. He's used to feeding large herds of cats and stuff. So, like, there's always cats, like, looking for his like, bits of fish left over from his catch.
I would imagine
that's
so.
Awesome.
He's me. He's basically me as an old Turkish fisherman.
Yeah. And I think we all, like, gravitate to these stories because it's just so – it's just lovely and it's relatable when humans are kind. You know, and they don't have to be kind to animals. That's the thing. And so often we're not. And so when we are kind to them and we even recognize them as autonomous individual souls, I think it's something we all can relate to and we love.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Ash. That's adorable.
Thanks. I made that happen.
You went to Turkey. You were like the...
I coached him into it. Uh-huh. I worked on that relationship for 13 years.
The stork Cupid. I think we did it.
We did indeed. Thanks for listening to another episode of Disney Dependent.
See you real soon. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Disney Dependent.
And you can send us an email at disneydependent@gmail.com.
This podcast is produced by Producer Ash.
The logo is by Ryan Hatch, and you can find him at WR Hatch on Instagram. The music is by Ryan Knowles, and you can find him at Ryan Allen Knowles on Instagram.
This show is mixed and edited by Deanna Chapman. You can find Deanna at Deanna_Chapman. And this has been a Team Dynamite Goat production. All right. Well, thank you for listening to the show, and we'll be back here next week.